Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
When we recorded this, Carl Ravitch broke it probably about 35 minutes ago. We got right into it. Major League Baseball made an updated proposal to the MLB Players Association earlier today, moving to have a 76-game season with players getting 75% of their prorated salaries. A source familiar with the negotiations told Carl Ravitch that is now public, that is now understood to be in fact true. The proposal includes eliminating draft pick compensation for free agents for a year. Teams would not lose a pick for signing a free agent. The team losing the player would get a compensatory pick during the draft. The proposal also includes a $200 million postseason pool for the players. The proposal would end the season no later than October 31st, the source said. The playoff schedule would then involve 10 teams still to be finalized. Well, we all thought that maybe that was moving in the right direction, but all the reports are that the players are livid about this. Buster Olney just tweeted out, Rick, the damage to baseball will continue to accumulate if there is no collaborative agreement this summer, because no cooperation between the two sides all but ensures the same battles will be waged going into spring of 21 and the CBA talks. And I guess the players said, don't even give us a formal proposal on this, because this will not fly. It's getting late early, as Yogi Berra once said here for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it is, and I don't understand it, to be completely honest. I mean, it doesn't feel like anyone wins in this situation. I mean, I get you want to posture, and you got the CBA coming up after next season and everything else, and no one wants to show weakness. But, I mean, when it's all said and done, who wins in this situation if there's no baseball?
Nobody. There's no winner.
No, there's no winner. And we don't win, and the players don't win, and the owners don't win. I mean, they're going to lose money. You won't lose as much if you actually have a season. I mean, I can tell you that. I mean, that has to be true, you'd imagine.
Yeah, that has to be true. Here's the thing I don't understand, though. I mean, if the owners are willing to give the players 75% of their prorated salaries on a 76-game season, why wouldn't they just give the rest of the salaries for the players, the rest of the prorated portion of the salaries, in deferrals? What's wrong with kicking the can down the road, carrying a little extra debt in order to get past this crisis and then have an opportunity to address it in the future? Why force the players to take that hit right now?
I mean, there's got to be a way they can figure out to get this done. I mean, you give the prorated up to 50 games, fine. And then the next 15, 18, 20 games, whatever it is, Chris, like you said, you now defer that into when it's healthier times for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I just don't understand why that's not a consideration. The only thing that would make sense is that the owners want to try to take advantage of the pandemic and use it as an opportunity to lower player costs to set the scene for the CBA negotiations that are going to happen in 21. It just doesn't feel like the owners are negotiating in good faith. It feels like they're trying to take advantage of the situation. I said that from the outset of this, and it still feels like that today.
Because I think that's what it is. I mean, the only leverage the players have, I mean, are the extended playoffs, miking up the players. I mean, as far as the owners are concerned, I mean, what happened in March to them means that Rob Manfred can make them have a season. He can say we'll play 50 games and you'll get your full prorated salaries, and that's what's going to be.
And I guess they can force the players into that.
Yeah, but they can't force the players to play, though.
No.
And that's the other part of this, because there is a pandemic going on. That is the backdrop. You can't force a player to go out there if he's uncomfortable with the risk that's associated with it. I know a lot of the argument has been about money, and I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. But there's also the question of whether or not the athlete is comfortable knowing the inherent risk that comes along with playing. We don't know how coronavirus is going to affect these guys long term. We have no idea. But we do know if you do have a return to play, there will be a player that tests positive for coronavirus. You're seeing it around college football right now.
It was how all many over players Alabama.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How many players tested positive at Alabama?
So I mean, they said at least five.
It's inevitable that if you do have a return to play, somebody will get infected with COVID-19.
So Joel Sherman tweets out minutes ago, few items have become obvious from MLB side. One, not going to give 100% proration. Two, determined to play a season of at least 48 games. Three, will not go beyond September to close the regular season, and four will make some concessions to try to help free agent markets as the compromise that they're willing to make.
Yeah, see, the only thing I don't know, and I would need a clarification on, is how it works as far as their CBA is concerned. With if Manfred does say it's going to be 48 or 50 games, you'll get your full prorated salaries, and they decide to not show up. If the players strike, how that affects the CBA?
Well, that would be awful. It would be so bad for the game of baseball. Could you imagine that? If they demand you come back 48 games, you get your full prorated salary, and the players say, we'll strike now? Now?
Well, here's the numbers.
As we sit here with everything going on?
Yeah, it would be crazy. I mean, it would be crazy, especially after what you saw. I mean, the last time something like this happened in Major League Baseball, how long it took them to get back. Buster only just put this tweet out. If a player was to make $10 million in 2020, pre-pandemic, so it was $10 million for the 2020 season.
Right, for the 162.
For the 162. Under the 48-game full prorated season concept, he would get $2.96 million. Under the new 76-game proposal by the owners, he would get $3.52 million. So it would be an increase from the 296 to 352, right. And they also have shared postseason money that they would get.
But it improves the margins for the owners in terms of keeping player costs down in order to make sure that you're profitable, or as profitable as you can be.
Yeah, you're getting more games. I mean, you're getting a lot more games for what? I mean, 600
not the same
grand?
Rate of pay. Yeah,
right. No, for like an extra $600,000. I mean, that's,
so
you're
getting from 48 to 76. You went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from 48 full prorated to the 76 with the 75%, which is 3.5.
Right. So you're getting 28 more games for $600,000 for a guy that's making $10 million.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So it's another way for the owners to try to keep the player costs down.
And at the same time, making more TV money because you're getting more games on TV.
Yeah. But my only question is this, Rick. Would it actually be a player strike? I thought that in the agreement that they came to at the end of March, there was a player option that if guys didn't feel comfortable, that they didn't have to come back and play.
I think guys, not the whole league.
Yeah, but I mean, it's an individual decision.
Yeah, that's why I would need clarification. I mean, from what I heard, I thought that players striking, like if the season was to be forced on the players, I don't know if they have the ability, with the legalese involved in the CBA, to actually strike, what that would mean.
And there would be some guys that would want to play.
Yeah, I would imagine there's some, but that's, yeah, of course there would be. I mean, what, 65% of the league makes $1 million or less?
Right.
I mean, not everyone in the league is financially stable to withstand having a whole season off.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
With the uncertainty of what happens next year, too.
Absolutely not. No, you're absolutely right, Dave, but here's the thing. You don't know what Tony Clark is recommending to the executive committee of the union, and you don't know what steps that they've taken to prepare for if they have to go down the road of forcing a strike in order to get the labor conditions that they want with the next CBA. Like, I don't know how dug in the players are, but it's clear that the players don't feel good about their last CBA negotiation, and the owners seem hell-bent on trying to gain back even more ground than the last time the two sides were at the table. So I don't see a way that this ends well if they can't come to some agreement on what's supposed to happen this year.
I could not agree with you more. So let's get some calls on baseball, 800-919-3776. And Carl Ravitch, who broke the story a little less than an hour ago, was on SportsCenter just moments ago giving us the latest MLB proposal right
now. This morning, Major League Baseball sent a proposal to the Players Association, basically looking at the 114-game proposal that the players had made and the 82 games that were out there at one point, and moving off this 48 to 50-game schedule and saying, we are now willing to play 76 games, more games than 48 and 50. 76 games, the prorated salary will be at 75%. There's no sliding scale, which was a thorn with a lot of the folks in the Players Association, that certain players were getting penalized more than others. This is a 75% of your full salary over the course of 76 games for everybody. Major League Baseball got rid of what was always an issue for players, draft pick compensation. There was the idea that teams would be reluctant to sign a player. Yankees signed Gerrit Cole. they forfeited a future draft pick. That will be eliminated, which will allow teams to sign players and not lose a future draft pick. There will be a compensation pick given to these other teams. It is an effort, at the very least, to show that Major League Baseball is interested in playing more baseball games. They do want to play more games. That was something the association, and there was some narrative out there that Major League Baseball is not interested in more games.
It's become obvious to me what the more games is. This is almost defined now. We will pay you full prorated salary up to 50 games. When it becomes more than that, we want to prorate it. That's where we are. That's where we are sitting here on June 8th.
I don't think you worded that correctly. Yeah, I get what you're saying. We'll give you full prorated for 48, but right. Then any number beyond that, we're gonna have to take a haircut.
That is correct.
But that's why I feel like the compromise may be somewhere like 65 games where you're losing 40% of your money. Like the 82 prorated, you'll make 50%. Then their other offer was where you'd end up making 30%. I feel like somewhere in the middle would be the 40% of what you were supposed to make for the entire season.
So 60 games? 63 games? 65 games? Something like that?
Yeah. The more I think about it, though, I just don't understand. I don't understand why we're in a position now where all these concerns start to come out and you didn't spend the entire time leading up to this point negotiating. I mean, how much could the circumstances have changed where all of a sudden you'd be in this spot where, oh, you know what? Now that we think about it, there's no chance we're going to have fans. So we want this. That wasn't a part of your thought process back in March when this happened?
Or to say, if we're able to have fans, you'll get this. If we're not able to have fans, that puts us in a different category. We're going to have to lower to something different.
And why not be ready to go? Like, right? Once you got the go-ahead, why not have everything worked out or at least close to being worked out where you can be ready to rock and roll once you got the go-ahead?
Yeah, it feels like these should have been a part of the discussions that took place in March, and apparently they weren't. And the owners, they're saying that they had this clause in there and there was an understanding that if there weren't going to be fans, that we were going to have to renegotiate. I don't understand why you didn't have those negotiations before you came to the first agreement. Like, that all should have been included in that. Because, I mean, if you're not going to be able to start the season on time because of a pandemic that's going on, you would have to think that it could be possible that you wouldn't be able to have fans in stands throughout the course of the season. So, again, I come back to the conclusion that the owners are trying to be opportunists right here, and it just doesn't sit well with me that they're not exploring every option that they have available to them to try to make the players as whole as they possibly can.
Let's go to Charlie in Monmouth. Charlie, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
How you doing, guys? So I know you're gonna disagree totally, but I just want to tell you a little bit of feeling from a fan's point of view and the fans that I talk to. At this point in this whole thing, I think everybody better just be hopeful that the owners don't lock the key, throw the key away, lock the door, throw the key away, and say, you know what? We'll start with all new players next year and do away with the whole thing. Because that's what's going to happen. They don't need to negotiate anything with anybody. And the media and everybody else that keeps dragging these owners through the pile, from a fan's point of view, if everybody there isn't willing to get out there and play, throw the key away, start next year, who comes back, and who doesn't, they'll start with all new players. There's many people that will go watch grammar school kids, high school kids, college kids.
You think that people during post-pandemic, Charlie, are going to go in droves to a stadium to watch replacement players play baseball? No.
Absolutely.
No, absolutely.
Did you see it in football? Did it happen in football years ago?
It was a joke. It was horrendous.
It was a joke, but the fans were filled. The stands were filled with fans, weren't they?
Major League Baseball is not the NFL. It's not.
And I don't remember the fans being running to those stadiums.
You can't get the fans to show up. You can't get the fans to show up now with the best players on the planet playing. You're going to get them to show out after a pandemic,
right?
Where you have how many people with no jobs that don't have
which people are leery to leave their house to begin with. Now, so you're going to have a pandemic. Secondary players, and to shell out good money, there's no way.
No way. Irreparable damage, if that was the case. years to
it
get
just
back.
It just goes to show you, man, it doesn't matter how these things go in the court of public opinion. Fans are always going to side with owners over players.
Always.
Always. It's unbelievable, man. It really is.
This was so poorly handled by both sides. I mean, really, it's sickening, really.
Was it poorly handled by the owners, though? If their intent was to put this kind of public pressure on the players, was it
diabolically handled by the owners.
Yeah, it was billionaires doing what billionaires do.
No, but I said this at the time, unless all of a sudden they want to play this game and the players decide to take a stand and don't come back. Like, it's fine to play this game and do this, you know, puff out your chest and try to get as much as humanly possible and then come to a deal. Unless the other side says, you know what? I've had enough. Screw it. We're not coming back. Now what do you do? In trouble.
That's a great question. And for some reason, I feel like we're about to find out. Because I don't think sides are coming to an agreement this week. I just don't see it.
You can push until the person walks away. And then what do you, it's not good for anybody involved.
And the owners have come out numerous times saying they want this wrapped up by the end of September. Well, I mean, we're not far off from that. We're sitting here June 8th and they've accomplished absolutely nothing. Nothing.
No, it just seems more and more contentious. Every deal that comes out seems more and more contentious. I mean, we don't even want a presentation. No, you can just send it to us. We're good.
Yeah. They said, don't even bother. We don't even want to see it. We're not going to accept this.
Yeah, there's a toilet paper shortage anyway. We'll just use this.
Right.
This new proposal. And the toilet paper you get now, I mean, at the stores, I mean, you might as well be wiping your butt with printer paper anyway. It's brutal. Brutal.
You got the NBA is gearing up for July 31. We're moments away from finding out exactly the particulars with hockey of when they're going to return. And Major League Baseball is entrenched in this.
And the NFL is talking about having people report to training camp
early.
In the middle of July.
Right, early. Which is which is a month, guys.
That's what I'm
saying. It's a month from this weekend that football could be back.
Which is when we used to go to training camp back in the day anyway, though, Dave. Remember when training camp was like 2 months long?
Sure.
That was brutal. But, yeah, I mean, if you're baseball and you don't come back, and after the public bickering between the players and the owners, I don't know how the sport recovers. People are not going to forget this. Maybe you'll have some of the diehards that are still willing to engage when you eventually do come back, but the overwhelming majority of sports fans will not forget that
people
baseball was the one that couldn't get it together.
People will be livid. This would be way worse than not playing in 94. Way worse.
Under the current circumstances, probably,
yes.
Yeah.
You have a pandemic, for God's sakes. You have people in the street. I mean, we're in a national disaster zone.
Yeah, but here's the other thing to take into account, though, that if you're these baseball owners, you need to realize. So, moving forward, NBA will have moved their schedule. I don't know what the NHL is going to look like. It sounds like they're willing to go back as far as, you know, January 1st. So you're going to have the NBA with a new schedule. For the time being, the NHL with a new schedule. And on top of it, you're going to have the Summer Olympics.
Oof.
So if you don't come back now, I mean, who's tuning in next year?
I think you lose a
fans
lot.
Fans will have plenty of options, won't they?
Oh, tons of options. Even if you come back this year, fans are going to have tons of options. But at least you come back and at least you are on center stage.
At least you're still relevant. At least you're still relevant. At least you get a chance to say, maybe it's exciting.
But
all these people are saying, I think it will be too.
But you know the other part of it, guys? You're actively participating in trying to heal the country. Like with all the civil unrest and the pandemic and everything that's going on, like you have an opportunity to come back and be a part of bringing everybody back together. And for you not to be involved in that, it's starting to feel like it's a responsibility that these pro sports leagues have in order to try to help this country get on the other side of the issues that we're facing. And for baseball not to come back and play when every other sports league is coming back and playing, I just feel like that's a terrible look.
It's an awful look. Could not be worse. I think you do irreparable damage to your sport. Moving forward. And you're right. The diehard fans, the people that can't get enough, will still watch.
Yes.
But the second tier fan that they like baseball, but maybe they're not in love with the sport. I mean, why would you go back to baseball when it's doing this to you now?
Well, you already have a fan problem, right? You have the oldest average fan base of any of the professional team sports. I mean, the average baseball fan is in their 50s. That's a problem. In trying to appeal to a younger demographic, this is not going to help your case if you're not going to come back this summer.
Bad luck. Bad luck. And, you know, it sounds like this is going to be a conversation that we're going to spend a lot of time on during the course of the show this week. Because this sounds like it's going to be the make-or-break week for Major League Baseball to get this.
All right, so did you see this?
Oh, boy.
Just before we go to break. So this is Joel Sherman. Major League Baseball Player Union does not see much of a concession by Major League Baseball on money here in this new proposal. Players' guarantee is for only half of their prorated salary. Then only get half of – they only get the other half – the other 50% if the playoffs are completed. At best, losing 25% of the prorated salary.
So if this returns in the fall and the playoffs can't finish, they don't even get what they were promised in this deal.
Yeah, they only get half of the other 50%. Yeah. Yeah.
Bad.
It's not good.
No,
it's not good.
It's bad. Now, I do have a little good news for you. This is kind of cool. You ready?
Oh, by the way, too, other thing. I completely forgot this, too. When I was going over leverage from the players, I mentioned the expanded playoffs and the mics. The union also has to agree to playing a playoffs on a neutral site, to have neutral site playoffs or World Series. That was another thing I forgot to mention, which is important. I mean, in all actuality, it's important. If you want to put, I mean, if whoever's in the World Series is in a state that's not really open, if you can move it to somewhere where the state is allowing people to go to the games, you'd want to do that, wouldn't you?
You would think. I'm sure baseball would want that.
Make the most sense.
You don't want, if you can have fans at the games, you'd prefer that over the dolls in the stands. I saw that. Did you see that?
The stuffed animals, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what a disaster. All right. The ESPYs have always celebrated hope, service, and perseverance. This year, more than ever, we want you to celebrate with us. 98.7 ESPN is honoring two athletes in our area who lost their senior seasons due to the pandemic by giving them an honorary ESPY award. To nominate a deserving local athlete, send us an email at 98.7fm@espn.com with the subject line ESPY, E-S-P-Y. Again, that's 98.7fm@espn.com. Write a brief message about who you're nominating and why. We'll choose the winning athletes on Monday, June 22nd, the day after the ESPYs air on ESPN, all brought to you by 98.7 ESPN. Make sure to catch the 2020 ESPYs presented by Capital One on Sunday, June 21st. The countdown for that begins at 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. So ESPYs June 21 and our local ESPYs June 22. So there you have it. All right. Nobservations is what we do, and we do it next on 98.7 ESPN. And have you turned your man cave into your home office? Well, here's your chance to upgrade your work-at-home experience with an Amazon Echo. To enter, email a photo of your work-from-home setup to 98.7fm@espn.com with the subject line Echo, and include your name and phone number. Again, that's 98.7fm@espn.com. Our winner for today, Erica Ruiz from Ozone Park, New York. Make sure you're tuned into our show, Barton Hahn and the Michael K Show, through Thursday to hear if you've won. To listen on your smart speakers, just say play 98.7 ESPN. So congratulations to Erica Ruiz. So Dinahan, our producer, just sent an email to us of how the finances would break down on this newest proposal. We'll get to observations in a moment. So, and here's why the owners are smart. Because if you are a player making $1 million or less, you're going to get more now than you would in the initial proposal. $1 million, the initial proposal, you would have made 57% of that. Now you'd make 65% of that. $563,000, initial proposal, 53%, now 65%. So it's the players that make $30 million, $20 million, $10 million that take less money. But the ones that don't make a lot will actually do better with the most recent proposal, Rick.
Yeah, I don't know if you're reading that right.
I am reading it right.
No, I don't think you're reading that right. That's a percentage lost. The 65% is lost. initially 563 and a million would lose 57% and 53. Now they're going to lose 65%. It's 65% pay cut across the board now.
65% pay cut from instead of 53%?
Yes.
So for example, so if you made a million under the initial owner's proposal, you'd make 434. This new owner's proposal, you'd make 352. So you're making less, 563,000, you're making less. The players making more are the 30 million, the 20 million, and the 10 million.
See, I actually think it'd be smarter to pander to the players making less because there's more of them.
Well, that's what they initially tried to do, and they weren't getting anywhere that way. They're just trying to manipulate the numbers. I mean, they have a ballpark of how much they want to spend, and they're going to try to get to somewhere close to that number. There needs to be a deadline. Bottom line is there needs to be a deadline. Like, they need to come up with a drop dead date.
By Sunday night at 9 o'clock, something must... Otherwise, we're done?
Otherwise, well, I mean, that's the only way to get a deal done at this point, don't you feel like?
But don't you feel like whether there's a hard deadline or not, we're approaching that very quickly?
I feel like that, yeah. I feel like we're getting to a de facto deadline. Like, I don't know that you're going to be able to have a season just because you're going to start running short on days.
I mean, we're there now.
Yeah, we're getting close. We're getting real. Yeah. Well, not for 48. I mean, if they only play 48 games, though. I mean, that's...
Yeah, you can talk about being able to do that in 2 months.
They get
like,
time
that's spring
for that.
Training.
I just don't understand. Like, I mean, again, this is something that you should have been doing for the last couple months, right? Find ways to be creative. It's going to suck for everyone. The owner's going to lose money. The player's going to lose money, right? Like, it just... But you also... And I know it's not always easy, because nothing is usually easy when we start talking about money and everything else. But why not, if you're Tony Clark, figure out what your players want moving forward with the next CBA and try to incorporate some of those things in?
Absolutely.
Like, so you can have some, like, maybe you get some things that aren't financial this go around.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you look bigger picture and you say, we'll give you more now if we get more in the future. Wouldn't that be the play?
No, you can't do that. You can't
why?
Do that. No, if you're having those negotiations, I mean, these, if you make a concession for this season, then the expectation is that the owners are starting off the CBA negotiations with that as something that they already have. So why, I don't understand, why would you give ground if you're Tony Clark or if you're the union? That doesn't make sense. How does that make sense?
No, I'm saying financial ground now.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, we're not saying, no, I'm not saying give them a salary cap, but if you have to take, I mean, instead of 50% of your salary, it ends up being 40% of your salary,
no,
or whatever
listen.
It ends up being. Like, then maybe I want, you know, guys to reach free agency younger, or you can't manipulate service time, like things like that.
But those are separate negotiations, though. What you're talking about is a negotiation.
I'm saying, but you're missing my point, though. I'm saying lump it all into part of the bigger negotiation. Realizing that time is of the essence, and that a lot of what we're dealing with now is because of the upcoming CBA negotiations, you've had months to talk about this. Like, so if we give you this, what are you willing to do when we negotiate the CBA moving forward? Will you give me this? Yeah, we'll put that in. Well, let's get that in writing. Okay, there we go. Like, try to do it that way. If you, I mean, because at this rate, nothing's going to get done.
So you're saying negotiate the CBA now?
Yeah.
I mean, that would
be
the only
creative.
Way you could do it. You can't have two separate negotiations. Like, if you're trying
do
to
it
lump
all
it
now.
All in, it'd have to be, okay, we're doing the CBA now, and as a part of it, we'll include what happens financially in the 2020 season. That would be the only way you could do it. Because you can't have a wink and nod agreement with owners. That doesn't work. So you have to put it in writing.
I would have tried it that way, or whatever. I mean, whatever it would take.
Okay.
Because, I mean, both sides are just dug in at this point. And I think part of that is because of the upcoming negotiations with the CBA.
Yes. So you think if the current deal expired in 5 years, it would be easier to get a deal done right now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. Very concerning where we are with Major League Baseball. Let's go. Observations.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knob Servation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, as new to the show, we go segment inside the segment. Dave Rothenberg is going to make you feel better about today with Dave Rothenberg's weather report.
The weather outside is weather.
That's right. Thank you. Currently, we sit at 74 degrees, nothing but sun. It'll be that way through 4 o'clock this afternoon, according to my Doppler. 5 o'clock, a touch of clouds, but back at 7, it's going to be beautiful again. So you're looking at a sensational day. If you're up early, you saw the sunrise at 5:20 this morning. Sunset will take place at 8:24. Love this number. Chance of rain, 0%. Humidity holding at 35%. Little bit of a breeze. North-northwest at 9 miles an hour. It is 74, and it feels like 74. Precipitation, none. Zero. Pressure holding at 30.03. Visibility, you can see from miles today. How many? 10, in wow. fact. UV index, sunblock today. 8 UV index. Air quality index, 26. And air quality, my calculations, considered very, very good.
Terrific, Dave. Terrific.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's a round of applause for our resident weatherman and the game. Get ready for the game that is sweeping the nation. Santy, hit the music.
There we go. Music.
Sunday night. Question. What time did Rick DiPietro go to bed? I will ask Dave. Give us the rules, Dave. Give us the rules.
The rules are, if you're over, it's Price is Right rules, and you're eliminated. So you have to be under of where the timing is that he went to bed last night. I went on Friday convincingly. I'll start again today. Well, it's probably not in my best interest. I probably should go second, but I'm gonna start. I'm gonna think you got sleep over the weekend. I'm gonna say you stayed up late last night. I'm gonna go 8:14 into bed.
Interesting. God, Chris Candy, what do you think? What time was I in bed last night?
I'm going to go with 7:37.
Wow, 7:37. It was a late night for me, Dave, last night. It was 7:46.
Ah,
7:36.
Yes. Well, yes.
It's yours, Canty. Congratulations.
Yes.
Now, he's within 9 minutes. Does he win both showcases there?
Both showcases, yes.
Oh.
Unfortunately,
my kitchen set goes to him?
Goes to him.
Come on.
And your jet ski. And your jet ski.
Does he get the model
jet skis
also?
To good use down here.
Oh, for God's sake.
really
all right, let's start with some good news.
You're like a child. Who goes to bed at 7:45?
It was a late night. That was, tough getting the kids to bed last night. Late night.
What time did you went to bed at 7? What time? 46?
Yo, 7:46. Late night for me. Fatigued right now. Barely keep my eyes open.
So what time do you actually fall asleep?
Last night, I was probably asleep, I would say. I was probably REMing around 8:20-ish, probably.
So if you just listen to my weather forecast, sunset is 8:24. You're going to bed when the sun is up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I got the blackout shades. It's like taking a nap during the afternoon.
All right. What it is. Have at it.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Going to give you some good news. Everyone pay attention right now. As we know, states are starting to open up. Here's some good news for people looking to get out, get some sun, and maybe jump in the pool. It doesn't appear that you can catch the coronavirus in a chlorinated pool.
Really?
There is no evidence that the coronavirus spreads through pool water, and you're even safer if you swim outside because outdoor pools have a lower risk than indoor pools.
Terrific.
So if you go to Don's house, you may be in trouble because he's got the indoor pool, but right. Outdoor chlorinated pool, you're in good shape.
Beautiful.
So that's good.
And plus, outside seems more comforting than being inside.
I feel like there's other things you could catch in an outdoor public pool that are probably equally, yeah.
Yeah.
With the pee-pee and the poop.
Yeah, remember rehab at the Hard Rock?
I got sick.
Yeah.
I got sick. I told you that story.
Yeah, you did.
Pete pushed me in the water with my drink, and I didn't realize the pool water went in my drink, and I drank it. It was ruined.
Oh,
ruined.
You drank pool water?
I
didn't know. It was in my mixed drink. I had the drink with the straw. Yeah, it went right in the mixed drink. I was crippled.
Every kind of test out of coming out of that water.
Oh, disgusting. Oh, I couldn't stand
right
up.
That's awful.
It's brutal. All right, here we go. Did this happen in Florida?
Florida.
You guys are going to like this one. This is why I tell you, stay away from dolphins and beware of dogs. A 29-year-old man broke his leg after falling into a 13-foot well because guess what? He's being chased by a dog. Chased by a dog, plummets 13 feet down into a well. Broke his leg.
So because there's one dog that's going to chase a human, dogs are now bad?
Yeah, I'm just saying they're not bad. I'm not saying anything about bad, but I could allegedly be terrified of them, yes. especially when you have a little malty poo jump up and bite you in the face.
A malty poo.
Right in my face. Almost bit my cheek off. It's like the Mike Tyson of dogs.
Oh, my God. A little beautiful baby dog.
Did that happen, this unfortunate story? This poor man, 13 feet, being chased by a dog. Did this happen in Florida?
13. I don't know. For some reason, I just have a hard time seeing the well, you know, just in Florida, just somebody just running and just falling into a well in Florida. I just don't see that. So I'm going to say not Florida.
I'm going to agree with you as well. Did you tell us, did the man get hurt?
He broke his leg, yes.
Ugh.
He was eventually found, but he broke his leg, yeah.
Could you imagine, just falling 13 feet into a well, it's got to be terrifying.
Terrifying.
That's a long way
stuck
down.
In a well? No. Ugh.
So now you've broken your leg and now you can't move.
No, yeah. How are you going to get out? You broke your leg, and you can't get up. No,
but how would you not know the well is there? That's the other part I don't get.
This speaks to the terror of the dog.
Okay,
maybe that was his choice. Maybe he thought plummeting 13 feet down was better than being attacked by this vicious cockapoo. I'm going to say not Florida,
not Florida. Florida. What do you think, Santi?
Yeah, same reason. I can't see any wells in Florida.
Can't see any wells in Florida. Interesting. You guys are all correct. That was Bali. That was in Bali.
Bali?
Yeah, the island of Bali.
Oh, wow.
The British men. Yeah, okay. In Bali. I was in there for 6 days.
No.
Oh, yeah, 6 days.
What?
Oh, yeah, 6 days.
Wait, you buried the lead. The guy was in the well for 6 days?
Yeah, little Timmy was in the well for 6 days.
Oh, my God.
Well, see, the dog should have helped out in that case.
Yeah, how's the dog going to get down there? Turned into Lassie and started barking.
For some reason,
I hear about dog in a well, I think Silence of the Lambs.
Put the lotion in the basket. Man, what do you think this dog is?
The guy was in the well for 6 days.
Yeah, 6 days. Made it, though. He's fine. Just a broken leg.
Just, yeah, I'm sure he's fine. Showing no scars from that.
Did you guys happen to see this story about the treasure that was found?
Mm-mm.
Yes, I saw that.
Canty saw a treasure chest of gold, jewels, and other valuables worth over $1 million has been found. 10 years ago, Forrest Fenn gained a cult following when he announced that he had hidden the chest somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. Okay?
That's
so what
awesome.
He did was he originally designed the treasure hunt as a means of leaving behind a legacy. In 1989, he was diagnosed with a terminal form of cancer, which, knock on wood, he got through. He hid the treasure in 2010 and shared clues to its whereabouts on his website and in a poem he published in his autobiography. He said that he's estimated 350,000 people have tried to find the treasure. Now it's been found.
Wow.
The person who finds it wants to remain anonymous, but the treasure has been found.
That is very cool.
Well, you say it's very cool, but there were 4 people that died trying to find that treasure.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's not very cool.
That's a part of the story.
Yeah,
it's a part of the treasure hunting. It's the risk. Because then you can get the reward.
People are perishing because of that. So not as cool, but cool for the guy that found the $1 million.
Yeah. Works for him.
Interesting story, though. I mean, who would ever thought to do something like that? And here you go. This is my final observations for the day. This is just a personal observations. I wish I could swear on the radio because this is how mad I was yesterday. My daughter is learning how to ride a bike. Okay, so we got her a bike. Beautiful pink bike, basket, bell, the whole nine. Of course, the bike doesn't come put together.
Oh, boy.
Dad's going to put it together. So dad figures, okay, let's pull it out of the box. Doesn't look overly difficult. I'll be the hero. Yada dee, yada do. Maybe it takes me an hour. And off she rides. Okay? I'm 2 hours and 15 minutes into this thing. Okay? Get to the final piece of this thing. 2 hours and 15 minutes. I'm on the final pedal. There's a right pedal and there's a left pedal. Right pedal screws in perfectly. No problem. Get the little wrench they give me. Tighten it up. Done. Left pedal. Won't screw in. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. 45 minutes later, trying to get this one left pedal to screw in, I said, I'm done. I can't do it. I quit. It's broken. We need to call. You got to call. It's broken. The poor thing can't ride because there's only one pedal. He'd be riding around in circles. He can't do it. Cassie goes in. 3 minutes later, comes out. She goes, I just read something online that because it's a left pedal, that maybe they thread it the opposite direction. I said, why would you thread it the opposite direction? Just try it. Let's see if it works.
And it did.
Yeah, it was threaded to turn left instead of right.
But it wasn't in the instructions?
No.
To do
it
that?
Was not in the instructions. No, I have no idea. This was one person. This was one person on the internet that said, just try it this way. Maybe it works.
Ugh.
So 3 hours putting a bike together, 45 minutes on one pedal, and all you had to do was turn it left instead of right.
Well, no wonder you went to bed at 746.
Why would you put yourself through that, though, Rico? Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just buy one that's already assembled?
You'll understand when you have a daughter. I don't make these decisions, Christopher.
Oh, okay,
I didn't order the bike.
Okay, I understand.
I saw the picture. It looked, when she showed me the picture, it was put together. When
now,
it arrived
was this
in the box,
purchased pandemic? You just purchased this, right?
Yeah, this was purchased during the pandemic. Yeah.
Right. So if if times were normal, you would go to the bike store and buy her a fully assembled bike, I'd imagine, yes?
If I could, if this is the bike that we wanted to get her. If that opportunity existed, that's what I would do.
Yes.
But this almost got spiked in the driveway. I was close to just snapping it in half.
Well, I'm glad that you didn't.
I'm glad that it all worked out.
The cast looked it up online and found
But I don't understand why you send somebody something and then you don't put in the directions that this one pedal is meant to be turned this way.
Ridiculous. I mean, all they had to do was put one line. Go in the other direction, turn left instead of right. Would have taken you seconds to do and you'd be done.
Done. That'd have been
it. But it's a bad job. Awful. It's a bad job.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.